reality. An Illinois whose people and businesses prosper. An Illinois which lives up to its proud history and which would make Abraham Lincoln himself proud. An Illinois in which the law, will of the people is the law of the land. Thank you very much.
Man, you've been listening to Governor Pat Quinn deliver his State of the State address at the Illinois State Capitol before a joint session of the Illinois General Assembly. The governor today touching on several topics, many issues in which he has already come out on record in support of, and those include pension changes for the state's public pension systems. He also said he wants lawmakers to pass same-sex marriage legislation, that he will sign that bill. Also, the governor favoring an assault weapons ban and minimum wage hike from $8.25 an hour to $10 an hour. And he also touched again on issues like hiring veterans, saying he will sign legislation and executive order to improve that situation in the state of Illinois. That was Governor Pat Quinn today during his State of the State address. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio. Let me go back to the state capitol. Brian Mackey standing by. Brian, you've been listening to a lot of this discussion today, what the governor had to say there in his remarks. Anything stand out to you more than anything else?
Yeah, well, he kind of had a consistent theme that it was hard not to miss. Hard is not impossible. He repeated that phrase numerous times throughout the speech, and I think it's sort of an acknowledgement of all the difficult challenges that Illinois faces right now. Number one in the governor's mind is the pension funding problem, and he ended with that. He began talking about it, and he ended with it. He made a reference to Senate Bill 1, and he said that is the best solution we have right now. Senate Bill 1, we don't have to get into the details of exactly what it does, because I think a lot of these things change as it goes on, but this is kind of looked at by the Senate president as the best way to solve the pension funding problem right now. It was obviously, being Senate Bill 1, he wanted to have it, pride of place as the very first bill introduced in the Illinois Senate this year. It would reduce benefits for current employees and, make a number of other changes to the pension system.
It sounded as though, in some ways, a lot of rehash of what we've heard before, and you can't blame the governor. These are issues that he feels are the most important. But I don't know, was there any new ground broken today in this speech that you heard?
Well, I mean, the minimum wage thing is kind of new, and this ethics thing. I mean, he talked about the ethics proposal that he had first tried to get passed in the 1970s as a petition drive. So I guess by definition, that is not exactly new. He rehashed some of his accomplishments. We have to keep in mind, though, that the state of this, Illinois has this odd system, I would argue, when you look at, the president comes out, does his State of the Union. That's it. That's his big push. But here in Illinois, we have the State of the State address, and then in about a month, we're going to have the governor's budget address, where he's going to lay out how he wants the money to be spent in state government. So I think by definition, these are sort of smaller bore issues, no pun intended with the reference to the assault weapons ban. But I mean, these are sort of smaller issues, individual legislative things that he thinks he can get accomplished. The big question hanging over the Capitol this year, as he alluded to at the end, is the budget, is the pension funding problem. And that's really going to be talked about, I think, in greater detail in the budget address we'll hear in a month.
That's right. And for those that don't follow state government on a regular basis, they may not realize the governor does lay out his budget later. This is often more broad ideas, maybe a grander vision, what he called Our Illinois. He talked about some of the key issues that are up before lawmakers, but not on how to pay for various things, or maybe in some cases where he has to make some cuts. And that's something that will come later. That is often, in many cases, much more of a negative speech for a lot of folks, especially when the state is suffering through the budget problems like it is right now.
Yeah, that's right. And, it's also worth bearing in mind that whatever the governor says, it still has to get through the legislature. I thought it was very interesting. He mentioned at the end of the speech, I'm reading from the transcript here that was given out beforehand, the prepared remarks. It said, "When I proposed closing 54 facilities across Illinois to save taxpayers millions of dollars, some of you weren't happy, but we got it done because it was the right thing to do." Well, in fact, I would say that it wasn't some of you weren't happy. It was a majority weren't happy. The legislature voted to keep money to keep the prisons that he wanted to close open. And the commission that oversees closing of facilities voted to keep most of them open in Illinois. And the governor went ahead and closed them anyway. So I think that underscores the fact that the governor and the legislature are often at odds here. So, I mean, he can propose and have all these great ideas, but it's not clear. He doesn't have a great track record of being able to get his vision approved by the legislature. He's found ways to work around it, as he did with closing the facilities. Tam's prison is closed. He's working on closing Dwight Prison. There are a number of other correctional facilities that were closed. We had the Jacksonville Developmental Center closed. I mean, he is moving ahead on these things, but it's not always with the cooperation of the legislature.
And Brian, stay with us for just a moment. I'm going to bring in Chris Mooney, who is a political studies professor at the University of Illinois Springfield. He's joining me in studio. He's also a close observer of state government and politics. You got to listen to this speech, Chris. Anything you want to add from what you heard the governor say today?
Well, Brian gives a nice summary of it. I think, you know, in an overview, you've got, especially as a speech, I see two things here. Number one, he's working hard to improve his public speaking in general. And this one sort of, you know, he's got these themes, he's got these reiterated comments, our Illinois, and the heart is not impossible thing, and that's as a rhetorical theme throughout. And that's, you know, a much improved presentation this year's.
A couple of years ago, he had just note cards and, you know, referred to himself as Soy Boy in one of these speeches. So, I mean, it has come a long way.
And also as compared to last year where he, you know, it was actually written out and he read it really fast and it was sort of like trying to get through it. It's like he was under a time clock. This time he had some inflection in his voice and everything. You know, of course, that's all, you know, relatively meaningless, but it's purely cosmetic. The thing that he really needs to work on if he wants to give a good speech, and I would suggest also if he wants to, you know, use the speech as these speeches are used to set out an agenda, to rally the troops both outside the Capitol and within the Capitol, what he needs to do is focus himself more and come up with, as Sean was suggesting, a substantive theme, not just a rhetorical theme, not just some catchphrases that get used. I mean, because he just sort of one little thing after another, and I couldn't help but note how most of the things he mentioned that he actually wanted the legislature to do something with either are sort of already in the works and you know, so he's getting on, you know, board the train, it's leaving the station, like gay marriage and so forth, or relatively small things, you know, raising the minimum wage to $10 an hour. Now that's going to be a fight, and that'll be a relatively large thing. But like, you know, the veterans military training, great. You know, everybody's on board with that. I'm sure it's, let's figure out a way to work that out. But it's not earth-shaking. It doesn't fit in with some kind of a general approach that he's got to government here or something like that. And even on pensions. I mean, pensions clearly is going to be it was the biggest issue on his agenda last year, and he said we've got to get it done. Didn't happen. Set two or three deadlines. Never happened. And this time he says, "Wow, it's really important," and he ends with it and he starts with it. But you know that basically the bottom line for him was you know, let's pass SB1, and it's you know, and he didn't even sort of go in any kind of description or talk too much about it. And you know, I you know, it's easy to second guess on these things, but it seems to me that he might have spent a little more time laying out that case for the general public, as much as for the people in the building who already know what's going on with that.
Well, let me bring Brian Mackey, let me bring you back in on that, because while the governor has made pensions one of his top issues, he really hasn't, it hasn't appeared, at least from where I sat, that he has been that involved in a lot of these behind-the-scenes discussions and negotiations. It seems as though if this is going to happen, it's going to originate from the legislature, and then the governor will be given legislation. Whether he wants to sign it or not will be up to him.
Well, I mean, the governor's people are certainly involved in these meetings at the top level between the Senate leaders and Democrats and Republicans in both the Senate and the House. I don't know if the governor personally is involved. I know his people are. But, I mean, he has made the point, well, I'm not a legislature. I can't introduce legislation. That's true. I mean, but on the other hand, you could certainly say that the people look to the governor to lead on this issue. And I think it's fair to criticize Governor Quinn that, you know, it has not always been exactly clear what his Bottom line, yes, this has to be in pension legislation. Do we have to? One of the big ideas out there, Speaker Madigan has talked a lot about this, is forcing local downstate and suburban school districts to pick up more of the cost for the teacher's retirement. Right now, teachers pay into their retirement system individually, and the state pays the employer share of their pension costs. And so the idea would be to gradually shift that back to school districts so that they would, you know, have a, you know, if they realize they would how much it costs to fund teacher pensions, and teachers do have the largest share of the outstanding pension debt, that maybe these local school districts would, you know, negotiate harder to give them fewer benefits or something along those lines.
Was it surprising to you, though, he did not think Speaker Mike Madigan when he discussed that, he thanked Tom Cross, he thanked John Cullert, anything to Lane Neckritz, a representative who worked on this, but the speaker's name never came up.
Well, it's not surprising to me because the speaker has not really been a leader. I mean, I don't want to go too far on a limb here and getting into, you know, opinion analysis, but I mean, I think it's fair to say the legislation we've seen, you know, the speaker had a chance to pass or to have a vote on a bill last spring. He withdrew it. We have seen the Senate Democrats last year under Senate President Cullerton did vote on legislation. It was limited. It only applied to state employees, but and it did not include teachers and university workers, for example, and judges. But it is legislation that was voted on. It did pass out of the Senate, and we have seen legislation from Representative Elaine Neckritz, who is a Democrat in the House. Now I think it's fair to say that she would not be moving ahead as aggressively as she has on this pension stuff without at least the sort of tacit support of the speaker. But no, the speaker has not come out and said, you know, here is my bill, and actually held a vote on it. So, I mean, there are people who are critical of him for, you know, not maybe being forward enough in passing this. But I don't think, and you guys can comment on this better than I could probably, it's not necessarily the speaker's MO to always be leading, you know, at the front of the parade. He, you know, sees how things are going and figures out best how to position his members to vote for it. And then, you know, if the opportunity's right, then he'll jump on board.
All right, Brian, I'm going to let you go. I know there are some people you want to try to catch here after this speech, and I do appreciate you taking a few moments before and after the governor's address today to talk with us. Brian Mackey, he is the State House reporter for Illinois Public Radio. Well, in the time we have left, let me bring Chris Mooney back in. And Chris, anything you want to add there to what Brian was talking about with the speaker and this whole pension issue, where it's going to play out?
Yeah, I think Brian makes an excellent point in terms of the different of the role of the speaker, the role the speaker's taken on for himself traditionally as tapping into we sometimes when we talk about legislative leaders, we think of them as telling people what to do all the time. Some you do get some of those, but a more common style is the style of the leader, of the speaker, and that is